The title for my homily this evening is The Tragedy and the Comedy of the Cross. One of the great privileges of being a priest is the opportunity that I have to hear people's stories. And sometimes I'm entrusted with hearing the part of people's stories that could best be called the tragedy, those parts of their life story that are incredibly painful. One of the areas that is most sacred is when people come and they share with me how choices that they have made in their lives have caused them and others such pain and suffering. Things as serious as having affairs, an abortion, a life characterized by license and living according to the flesh and all of what that means, has resulted in people saying to me, "You know, Father, I don't know if I really can ever be forgiven because of what I have done. Can God forgive me for this?" People can experience life in such a way that they interpret it through the narrative lens of a tragedy. This is because the pain and the anguish, the sorrow, the choices that have resulted in consequences that cause such heartache allows for this space where to be able to sit with another and give them permission to express their sorrow, to pour out their hearts as tears form in their eyes and they are free to weep. This is one of the most holy grounds that I experience during the course of a given week. And then to hear people say things like this, "You know, Father, I've never told anyone about this before. I feel that I can trust you. And I can share this secret." These types of things are common responses. And this is where the privilege comes in. As I listen and seek to console, I'm able to truly help them identify with the tragedy of their story, because it is tragic. But we then think about how we take this tragedy and we make it part of the story of Jesus, because it does not have to end in tragedy. For our stories, when they find their place in the story of Jesus Christ, allows us to see that, yes, the tragedy of the cross is the result of the tragedy of our sin. Yet we call the gospel good news because the gospel does not end with the tragedy of Good Friday. It leads through to the comedy of Easter Sunday. Oh, and by the way, in a technical way, a Shakespearean play that ends being really, really sad, that's what's called a tragedy. Where one that has a happy ending, that is called a comedy. And so we have to think about the tragedy and the comedy of the cross. We have to think about the tragedy and the comedy of our own lives. St. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, said that if our story ends with Good Friday, it is a tragedy. Listen to how he puts it. "If Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Then those who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." That's the tragedy of the cross if it ends on Good Friday. But do you know what Paul says in the very next verse? It's not a tragedy at the end, it's a comedy. Because the very next verse in 1 Corinthians 15 is this verse. "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead." Here is the comedy of the cross. In today's gospel, in one verse, Jesus brings together the tragedy and the comedy of the cross in this way, when he said, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give up his life as a ransom for many." And what I want to do now for the next couple of minutes, I want to unpack this verse for you and show you how this verse is both the tragedy and the comedy of the cross. Repeatedly in the Gospels, and you might have picked up on this, that Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. Why does he do this? Well, Jesus is, of course, Jewish. And the Jewish people had an understanding of the book of Daniel, one of the Old Testament prophets, where in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel, there's one who's called the Son of Man. And we're told that he has given an eternal kingdom, a kingdom that is without end. And so Jesus, when he says here, the Son of Man came to serve, he's saying, guys, I'm that guy in Daniel chapter 7. I am the Son of Man. And here's the first part of the comedy. Although it's hard to see when we look at it just from the perspective of this world, that right now, we're part of an eternal kingdom. We're part of a kingdom that will have no end. And amidst the upheavals, the coming and going of one empire after another, and this is part of what we see in Daniel 7, here is the steadfastness of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. And so here, my dear friends, we live very much as part of this world, and this is a hard world to be part of right now, isn't it? These are hard days. These are trying days. These are taxing days. In a way, it seems like we just are in a tragedy. Where is the comedy? But here's the comedy, that as Christians, as those who are in Christ, we are part of the kingdom of the Son of Man. And here's the next thing Jesus says, that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And that's the next part of this, that in a world like this, that part of what we're trying to do is to learn to live in relation to our King and to live as those who want to serve and not to be served. How different this is from so many regimes where those in political leadership, particularly in dictatorships, have no idea of what it means to serve. They want to be served. And can't that be the case in our own lives as well? That we want to be served, we don't want to serve. And yet when we begin to get the grasp of this story, when the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give up his life as a ransom for many, now we get to the heart of the story. What does Jesus mean when he says he came to give his life as a ransom? A ransom is an image of payment that is given in order to set someone free, whether from slavery or prison or some kind of bondage. And of course, what Jesus has come to do is to set us free from the bondage of sin. So those people that I mentioned at the beginning of my homily, and they truly mean it, they don't think they can be forgiven. But when we come to understand the reality of this verse, that Jesus, because he is God, is the one who can ransom us. He is the one who can establish us. And as we follow our servant King, something happens to us. We come to that place of recognizing, I can't save myself. I can't buy myself in such a way as to ransom myself. And here's where the tragedy and the comedy come together in a most remarkable way. Because on the cross, when Jesus died for our sin, that's actually the point where the comedy comes into play. Because you see, Jesus has the capital. He has the resources in order to buy us back. And we might think, well, this sounds all very theological. And it is. But it's theology that's supposed to touch our hearts. Because I bet you, like me, have sometimes laid awake in the middle of the night and wondered, what's it all for? Have wondered, can I truly be forgiven? Have perhaps wondered, is there really hope in a world like this? Does it end as a tragedy, or is life a comedy? And yes, at 2 a.m, those are the things many of us wrestle with. Maybe you say it a little bit differently than I've said it now, but this is part of our human story. Hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus, Isaiah, in a passage where he talks about the one who is the servant king, anticipates the tragedy and the comedy of the cross. Listen to how he puts it from our first reading this evening. Out of his anguish, he shall see light. The tragedy, the anguish, the comedy, he will see light. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he will bear their iniquities. What does it mean to be made righteous? It means to be made right with God, so that our hearts are now aligned to him. Here, my beloved brothers and sisters, is the heart of the story. All of us are like those people that come to see me. All of us are like those who are in need of ransom. And the gospel says, again and again, trust in Jesus. It's not enough to try to forgive ourselves. We need to receive the forgiveness of the one who is God. But the more we turn to Christ and say, Jesus, please save me, please help me, we discover in the light of the tragedy of our lives the dawning of the light of the comedy. In that reading from Hebrews, listen again to this balance between tragedy and comedy. Since we have in Jesus a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weakness. That's the tragedy. He does sympathize with us in our weakness. But we have one who has been tested and is without sin. Because he is without sin. Here's the remarkable part of the comedy. And I'll sometimes say this to people. I say, imagine when you're in heaven. Imagine when you will be completely free of all sin, all anger, all resentment, all bitterness, all judgment, all self-condemnation. You'll never experience it again. That's the end of our story. That's why the gospel is not a tragedy, first and foremost. It is a comedy. And when we come to know Jesus in this way, when the tragedy of our sin no longer is foremost in our minds and our hearts, but rather we focus more on the compassion and mercy of the Son of Man, then we can take to heart these words with which our reading from Hebrews ended. Approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that you and I may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When's our time of need? Right now, today. And right here, right now, the tragedy becomes the comedy of the cross.